Okay, now it's on. Here we are in Beijing, and it's a Beijing evening. A little cloudy, a little foggy, but we're back. I'm Louis.
I'm Jessica.
And here we are in our downtown Beijing studio. Well, we're not downtown, are we? We're uptown.
Uptown.
Uptown Beijing. And today, this is Origin of Words podcast. We've been away since the end of July, and we're back. This podcast is all about going deeper into the origin, the history of some words. And today, this is part two of the U.S. presidential election vocabulary that we have heard on the news in the past month or so. The election is November 6, 2016. So we thought you might be interested in some other words and that you may hear on the news, some news programs, or read in the news. And we have five words for you. Today we have the first word is Stockholm Syndrome. The second word is...
Xenophobia, I'm sorry.
Xenophobia. The third word is inauguration.
And... The fourth one is presidential pulpit.
And the last word is?
Ballot.
Ballot. So you may know some of the meaning of these words if you do watch the news. But as I said, our podcast goes into the origin of the words as well as the meaning and how to use it. So let's get right to it. The first word, Stockholm Syndrome. Well, this word is a noun. It's called a mass noun, and it's talking about the feelings of trust or affection felt by the people that are kidnapped or taken hostage by a victim towards the captor, the person that does the hostage taking or the kidnapping. And this is a real syndrome. The psychology of it is when, by example, I will tell you in the United States in 1974, Patty Hearst, those of you older folks out there may know about her, she was the granddaughter of the millionaire newspaper publisher William Randolph Hearst. She was kidnapped by this political criminal gang, and she was held for almost 2 years. And then the gang and her, Patty Hearst, went together to rob banks in California. That seems a little strange since she was just kidnapped and held for almost 2 years. Well, this is the syndrome, Stockholm Syndrome, where the victim, in this case Patty Hearst, starts to have sympathies and feelings for the kidnapper.
斯德哥尔摩症候群，大家在电影中应该看到过，就是当一个人被绑架之后，可能因为很多很多就是跟他跟这些绑架者的交流，可能他就突然之间变得非常的对这些绑架者非常同情，甚至跟他们一起做一样的事情，像1974年的那个Patty Hearst那个事件就是这样的。So
recently, this came up in a news article. Spoken by Stacey Abrams, a Democrat in the United States state of Georgia, and she said like this: Donald Trump has inflicted Stockholm Syndrome on America. It's not even that we're numb to it, it's just that we always enjoyed the show. It's entertaining to hate him, to like him, and to imagine being him. So, that's what this political person said. Now, the question is, where does it come from, this origin of Stockholm Syndrome? In 1973, in Stockholm, the capital of Sweden, there was a bank robbery, and the bank employees were held as hostages for 5 days. However, some of these bank employees felt sympathy for their captors and resisted some help by the government or the police. And a journalist later psychologist termed this psychological phenomena as a Stockholm syndrome.
那么这个斯德哥尔摩症候群呢，其实就是发生在斯德哥尔摩，也就是瑞典的斯德哥尔摩的一个这个抢劫案而来的。那么最近呢，就是这个特朗普，也就是这个美国大选啊，大家可以关注一下，可能看一下他所引发的这种斯德哥尔摩症候群。
Very good. So, xenophobia is our next word about the U.S. presidential election 2016. Xenophobia is, the dictionary says, it's the fear that we perceive something to be foreign or strange. Fear of people from other countries, for example.And you could use it like this. That politician, and we know who it is in America, that politician seems rather xenophobic when he wants to ban all foreigners from entering our country. Or you might use it like this. His speech seems rather xenophobic.
Xenophobia 是仇外的意思。也就是说有这种仇外心理啊，比如说我们这个他不喜欢外国人啊，或者是因为各种原因吧，他不喜欢这个外面的人。那么这个呢，就比如说最近可能有这个政治家会这个放言出来说不欢迎所有的外国人进入他们的国家啊，那么这种就是一种非常典型的非常极端的仇外的心理。
No names. And number three,Oh, sorry. The origin of this word is fairly easy compared to some other origins. The Greek word for fear is phobos. And the Greek word for stranger is xenos or xenos. So thus we have xeno or xenophobia. That was easy.
Mm-hmm.讲到这里大家应该认识到了这个词根的重要性，对吧？啊，那么大家可以看一下这种什么从希腊或者什么地方来的这个词根词缀啊，这些都可以学习一下。
The next word we have is inauguration. Again, it's a noun. And the inauguration, at least in terms of this podcast, is when the president, in this case the United States president, is officiallysworn into office, which will be January 20th, 2017. Obviously, it's after the election, and the person that does this swearing in is the head justice of the United States Supreme Court. He does the official ceremony. And do you want to translate that?
It's okay, you can just go on.
The origin of this word.Comes from the French in the middle of the 1500s, from the meaning of inauguration, meaning installation, consecration. And that comes from, as many English words do, comes from the Latin, again, inaugurationum, which means originally meant installing someone or something.Under a good omen, meaning a good prophecy, a good something that will be happen in the future in a positive way. For example, if in the times of the Roman Empire they saw the bird flying north, then that was a good omen. So that meant a good time to build a monument to the king or a good time to elect an important political leader.So, they would have that inauguration during that time period.
嗯哼，好像所有的这个古代的文化都与这个就是什么美好的寓意啊，各种啊，都是连接在一起的。那么 inauguration 也就是就职典礼的意思。2017年1月20号呢，这个美国的下一任的总统就要就职了，那我们就要看一下到底是谁，对不对？那么这个词呢，它是来源于法语词的，我不太会读啊。然后它又就是它其实是从很多的语言当中变过来的，一步一步变过来的。
Okay, the next word is pulpit, or in this case, presidential pulpit, and a pulpit without the word presidential means like a platform or a lectern where the speaker gives his speech. But in this podcast, again, we're using the term presidential pulpit, where the president will get up and make a speech to promote his agenda, whether he's the president or not. I mean, the president, the person running for president, could also give a speak at the presidential pulpit. And in reference to this, a similar term in the early 1900s by the U.S. President Teddy Roosevelt used this word a little bit differently, calling the place where he spoke, he called it the bully pulpit. Actually, he called the whole White House the bully pulpit, meaning this is a place where any president could promote their agenda. At that time, the bully pulpit did not have the meaning of something negative like it does today. At that time, it meant something wonderful, something superb. So it had a positive meaning, not the bully of today, which is negative.
Mm-hmm. 那么下一个 presidential pulpit, 那个 pulpit 它本身是讲道坛的意思，加上了 presidential 呢，那也可以讲，我们可以很明显的就知道，它就是说总统啊，或者是总统竞选人啊，他们在进行各种的讲道啊，或不是讲道啊，就是说讲他们的这种什么计划呀、目标呀、他们的这种执政的一些想法呀，都可以就是在哪儿讲啊，这样子都是这个。用的是这个。
So the origin of this word goes back at least to the 1300s, again from the Latin pulpitum, which means a raised structure. But this raised structure was used in a religious sense by the preachers or the ministers. This was an important part and a fundamental part of the church furniture. It was usually in the center of the church, and it was usually elevated above the audience to show the deference or the emotion to God and the status of God, and so the preacher would stand behind the pulpit. So that basically, you could say it's a religious symbol, but now it's can be used by anyone. It doesn't have to be religious.
又是一个拉丁语中过来的一个单词，所以大家一定要注意一下这个拉丁啊、拉丁语啊、希腊语啊这些转化。
And lastly, we have the word ballot. And most people, or many people here listening to this, will know what it means. It's a noun. It's the process of voting, usually secretly, usually in writing. We can say something like the total number of votes cast in a ballot was such and such, or he won 50% of the ballot. The origin comes from at least in the middle 1500s, again, in Europe, in this case in Italy, meaning that instead of the secret ballots that we have today, and we also have some digital technology ballots, but in those days they used a small colored ball, maybe the size of a marble or a little bit bigger, maybe a small golf ball, and it had different colors, and those balls were placed in a small container, and those balls were used to vote. And so the word ballot comes from that word ball.
嗯哼，那么这个 ballot 有点像咱们的，应该也就是吧，无记名投票。那么现在美国大选如火如荼啊，这个 ballot 就是大家正就马上要进行的这个最终的一个投票呢，就是用的这个 ballot。那么，这个词的来源呢，它其实是在16世纪的时候的一个词，那么它是从这个意大利语过来的。
Well, it comes from the word ball. The Italian word is pala, and that's the Italian word for ball. And so you can sort of see the transference between Pala and Ball and the ballot if you look at it all together, right?
Yes.
Yes.
You're right.
So that concludes our presidential words for 2016 U.S. presidential election, which will be in November 6th, I think. And those words, I hope you can understand them a little bit better now when you hear them or read them somewhere. So, again, you can download any of these podcasts. You can put them on your MP3, MP4. Is there an MP5?
Oh, maybe.
Okay, MP5.
Maybe. Yeah,
MP5. You can subscribe. There's a little subscribe button somewhere on the homepage. You can send a comment if you can get the Facebook. And if you can get Facebook, you can leave a comment or a question. My email is right there, Lewis. ChinaLewis@yahoo.com. We are on Facebook, so if you're on Facebook, give us a chat. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to the end of this podcast. 111.
Oh, right. 111.
Yes. And next time will be 112. Mm-hmm. And we'll have some new words for you.
Yes.
So.
Are you looking forward to that?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're all out of time now. And so we will say 再见.